you gotta rock, rock on. Rock, rock on. Slide it, rock on.
Did I say that right?
Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Lebanon.
That boy is good.
excuse me. Well, today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, July 9, 2025. You know, we're like past the halfway point of the year of 2025. Marinate. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you don't be that with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast was not meant for you. Hey, before we continue, we're going to, I'm going to ask all you listeners. Well, first I'm going to say, hey, shout out to all you listeners. And I'm going to ask to take to pause for a quick second and applaud yourselves. That's what I'm saying, because if you're my target audience, you sometimes struggle with just giving yourself a reason to just be nice to yourself, just applauding, you being grateful. And if you're wondering, well, what the fuck do I have to be grateful for? Well, I guess I'm the one who's grateful for your time that you are allocating for this podcast. Well, that's not how you say it, but whatever. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! Yeah, here's hoping that I say something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website, and ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. See, this is the part where I should be telling you about my Patreon and giving me 5 stars review, but I don't have a Patreon site. And I don't know. I'm not trying to be a popular podcast. I'm trying to be a useful podcast. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna bring that up in therapy. All right. Okay. Want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red, black, and the red, blue. In today's episode, titled 281...
Crocker.
excuse me. Sometimes I forget I write this shit. I talk about my attitude the last time I was in therapy. But before we do that, we're going to take some... we're going to do some quotes, and we're going to do some randomness. Sometimes I do this shit and I feel silly. I'm like, where the fuck writes this shit? Or why the fuck did I write this shit? And then I remind myself, because it's my goddamn podcast. That's why. All right? Yeah. All right. Bon, who's going there? All right, let's start with some quotes. Boys and girls and everyone in between. First one goes, rock, rock on. You got to rock, rock on. No, that's not true. But shout out to Reggie Noble regardless. Okay, first quote is, the peace that you feel without them is worth being the villain in their story. And shout out to, oh man, Poetry Boots. Excuse me, Poetry by Boots. And the reason I'm, the reason I'm surprised or the reason I'm acting the way I am is because it's not often that the quotes that I read actually... the author is the same person who posted it on Instagram. So, Poetry by Boots. Let me just click on that. Remind me later. Your Poetry by Boots? Damn. Oh my God, it's a human being. Okay, all right. I don't know why I thought like Angel. Okay, I really need to stop doing that. Next quote. Mentally, I've cut everyone off. Emotionally, I still have love for people, but physically, I don't want to be around anyone anymore. Let me try that again. Yeah, self-love. Mentally, I've cut everyone off. Emotionally, I still have love for people, but physically, I just don't want to be around anyone anymore. And that's very similar to the quote about, look, man, people undervalue peace. Or maybe it's a maturity thing, but the value of peace, it's like, whew, oh, my, yeah, you can't put a price on that shit. I mean, you can fake peace, you know, by numbing your brain. You know, I was going to make a bad point. Next quote. Lighthouses don't go running all over an island looking for boats to save. They just stand there shining. And that quote's from Anne Lamott and deserves a
message.
And for those of you reading Know My Name, yes, I did get that quote from Chanel Miller's book. Last quote. Brace yourself. It goes, people that introduce you to new ways of thinking and new ways of seeing life are so important. What was that? Nope, podcast is not still back. What was that? That was a fax machine, folks. Well, I mean, fax machine, kids. Fax, because that was fax. Okay, I just realized some of you might be wondering, what the is a fax machine? And I'm going to say, ask your parents. Fuck I look like? A black dude from Reedy Rainbow? Right, okay. Yeah, no, I'm using that. I had posted something on, was it on Reddit? And someone responded with the fax machine emoji. It's funny. I'm staring at this image. I couldn't recognize it because it's an emoji and it's friggin' small. And so I had to zoom in. And then I ended up having to ask AI, I said, what the fuck is this? And it's like, oh, the person is trying to say fax to your response. Fax, as in that's what you just said is legitimate, is dope. Yes, AI speaks my language. But yeah, no, it's true, man. I am out of my favorite human beings have always been those who've introduced me to new ways of thinking and seeing, and new ways of seeing life. And, you know, I should at some point shout out some of the podcasts I've been discovering. Like, that's pretty much how you sell me on your podcast. Well, oh, no, I was going to say, don't sell me on your podcast. I'm saying if I click play, and I find myself thinking new ways. If you introduce new thoughts in my mind, then I become a fan. Actually, it helps if you make me laugh, talk about shit that's relevant to me, and then, like, those three have to come together. Okay, bon, on a finito. Okay, no, no, on continue. Let's jump into some randomness.
So, you're a philosopher?
Hey, first word goes, I did it again, gang. I did it again. What did I do again? I want to applaud myself for, yay! Maybe I should tell you why I'm applauding myself before I applaud myself, but whatever. It's my goddamn podcast. Before recording, I made myself dinner. So I logged off from work and fought the urge. Fought the urge to Uber Eats, fought the urge to eat out, and I made myself dinner. And not only did I make myself dinner, I made myself good. I mean, it was delicious. It was fucking, like it was so good, I'm telling you about it. That good. Shit was tasty. The trick is I bought this new seasoning. It said all-person seasoning from the Caribbean section. Look, man, I'm no chef. I'm just a dude experimenting and tried that shit in there and tabarnak, goddammit, it was delicious. But yeah, I did it again. That's on the positive side. On the less side, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. I I had another late prep day. So for those of you who don't know, I usually like to prepare for an episode the day before. And yesterday, I forgot what, I guess I just got caught up. No, you know what it is? My days of the week are fucked up. I mixed my Tuesdays with my Mondays, and I was going through yesterday because of all the holidays we had last week. And before the all holidays we had last week, I found myself thinking it was Monday, and usually I don't prep for pop. Look, it doesn't matter. Long story short, I prep for today's episode the day a few hours before, right after work, after I ate. While I was eating. And what's funny is because I felt like, you know that sense when you're like preparing for an assignment and you're like submitted it at 11:50, like it's due at midnight and you're like 11:59. That's how I felt. I wasn't stressed out. Don't get me wrong. I was enjoying it. But it is what it is. It's, you know, now that I think about it, it's not that bad. But I just like to bring it up. All right, next time.
So, you're a philosopher?
Okay, so today a lot of my content, no, that's not true. I was thinking of making this into a bit, but I don't think it's, I don't know, I need to develop it. But there was a moment today I went for a walk. Got away from my computer, went for a walk, and I noticed this black dude that I usually see on the walk. We don't know each other, but we're both black, so we acknowledge each other. And he was walking my way, and I was walking his way. We were coming, and I'm prepping to do away our usual bro nod. And he's coming my direction, and on my right, there was this little kid who was with, I'm going to assume it's his mother or his caregiver, whatever, man. But he was being a little boy, just a little boy, you know, little white kid. Walking around, I'm free, I'm white, oh my God, the world is mine. You know, just running around and all over the place. And right when I get ready to give him the brother, the bro nod, this kid like runs in front of him and then trips, falls. And we both freak out. Okay, no, I freaked out. He just did the, oh wow, hope you're okay, kid. I did the, oh fuck, we're going to get blamed for this shit. It was the look we gave each other when that kid, I'm sure the other brother was just like, oh man, that's an unfortunate kid. I was like, fuck, they gonna blame me for this shit. And the worst part about it is I was kind of hoping he would trip. Fuck you, little white kid. Gonna grow up to be like some, I don't know, I know I got this bad habit of staring at white kids. And having my little moments of, aw, so adorable. And then, yeah, you're probably going to grow up to be a white supremacist. Or you're going to work in government and cut off my aid as an old person. Whatever. I guess I'm just a little negative, man. I'm just, there's negative. And then there's also my inner angry black guy. He pops up every once in a while. So he went from, hope that little kid trips, but just not in front of us while we're in the middle of a bro nod. And, that's it. That's it. You know, now that I said it, it's funny. When I was walking, I'm like, yo, I think I got a source for a bit. Now I'm like, I don't know. But whatever. Don't steal it because I might develop it.
So you're a philosopher?
I just feel the need to mention that I'm still reading the book by Chanel Miller, Know My Name, and still loving it. I think I just finished chapter 9. I believe it was chapter 9. It's the chapter where after the court case, sentencing, and again, you read this book and it's like you're right beside her. Or you're reading about a friend, a close friend. It's just, anyways, it's, my point is, I'm tempted to create, I'm tempted to create a support group for men, a support group called Men, a support group for men who read Know My Name and want to beat the shit out of Brock Turner because they can't process the emotions the book evokes, the can't process the complex emotion evoked by the book. Now, I want to be clear, the book is not about beating the shit out of Brock Turner, but, yeah, I want to be clear. Caveat, because if something happens to this asshole, they're going to blame the book. But, now I remember. Now I remember why I brought this up. It's because there's a part where, after the sentencing, she used the word, there was nowhere for my anger to go. And I was thinking about, it made me think about a moment in my life where I was, someone did me wrong. And all I could feel was nothing but rage. And I say this as a man, right? All I could think was rage, and not just rage, and violence. Money and violence. And rage and violence. But it was, let me find my thoughts here. It was severe enough for me to end up in therapy. That's what I'm trying to, that's where it's going with this. And I guess in therapy, I learned how to process emotions. That's really what the bottom line is, this is that my inability to process emotions. And there was a problem, and the only solutions, I'm like, there's, I don't see how to handle this without being violent. And just for the kicker, I'm not a violent person. I was just raised with the idea that as a man, you got punked. And the only way to handle this is by, as a toxic male, is by responding with violence. Oh, just to be clear, the person who did me wrong, it wasn't violence, but it did feel like a got you, nigga. You know, it just felt like, ha ha ha, like there was humiliation, there was all these feelings. And I think about all the people in the world who aren't violent and have the ability to process that rage. And there's bottom line. Anyway, so that's where the idea of creating a support group for creating a support group for men who are reading or read the book, and the only thing they can think about is, you know what? One last point I'm going to make about this, right, is support group who want to beat the shit out of Brock Turner because they can't process the feelings invoked from reading the book. I was thinking about how I was reading. I can't remember what I read this, but it doesn't matter. What it's how some women don't go to the males in their life after they've been sexually assaulted. Because in that moment, as men, the only thing we can do is, well, I'm going to make you feel better by punching the wall. I'm going to make you feel better. Like, in our mind, that's the only solution that comes to mind is, I'm going to threaten this person. I'm going to fuck them up. Oblivious, selfishly oblivious of the fact you're just making it worse, because all they're thinking about is, shit, I don't want them to get in trouble because of me. But yeah, no, it was just how, yeah, we just have one angle. But no, it's just the topic, the subject matter in this book, it's mature shit. And as a guy, you probably, your first thought might be just to, I'm going to ignore everything in this book and just beat the shit. Nah, it's bigger than that. It's again, It's a book about a woman who's been sexually assaulted, asserting her humanity on behalf of those who've never had the opportunity to do the same. But yeah, that's it. Okay, I promised that was my last point. All right, let's jump to the next one.
So you're a philosopher?
Okay, I'm looking at the time, and I'm all right. Okay, let me jump to. Oh yeah, no. So sometimes on this podcast, I'll read something online, and I want to comment, but again, I have to do some emotional regulation. But all right, so the question goes: this is an introvert beams. The question is: has anyone else ever gotten in trouble at work because your introvert personality is taken as rude, uninterested, for not constantly interacting with coworkers or participating in events? And I remember trying to answer. Well, my first thought was, one, just get this out the way, is I admire you, folks. I'm not saying that's what you wanted, but I still have an admiration for the introverts in the world who've gotten themselves in trouble, who were misunderstood, and people thought, oh man, well, fuck you, she thinks they're all that. Fuck them. What do you mean you won't go to lunch with me and hear my boring ass story about my kids or my cottage or my relationship that's not working, whatever. It's, yeah, no, I was thinking about, so shout out to them. And I was thinking about myself, how I've managed to convince people at work that I'm an extrovert. And the more I think about it, it's kind of like impressive in a way. It's because I grew up in a household where the concept of being an introvert wasn't really understood. So in my mind, I'm like, introvert, bad. Then I get to work, and shit, even school, it was like that. And a different personality of mine just comes out. And it's not because I want to. It's because in my mind, I'm in fight or flight. I'm in survival mode, automatically survival mode. And I, all this to say is, if you were to meet people who know me at work, or probably most people, they'll be surprised. What? Be an introvert? What? They'll be surprised that I'm an introvert. And it's part of the code switching. Now, I know there's a white person saying, well, I don't code switch. Well, you know, I don't know what white people call code switching, but it doesn't matter. I forgot. Holy shit, it's my goddamn podcast. I'm trying to get in the habit of not thinking about white people. I don't want to be perceived as the rude, uninterested person. But the reality is, I guess I am. But I guess I'm making it worse because I'm putting on a fake persona of, I'm not rude, I'm really kind, I'm a nice person. No, I really want to hear your fucking 50-minute story about your punk-ass kids or your whatever the fuck you want to talk about. I remember, quick stories, I remember when Obama won the election. the first time he won the election, and, you know, I don't know if you guys can remember, after he won, and the day after, oh man, black folks, we were like, well, most of us, we were like floating. I remember walking and noticing his sister walking my direction, and we just smiled at each other and just walked our way. And so I walk into the office, and because I'm thinking, first black president, right, man, cause, you know, because I didn't think he was gonna win, but it was, yeah. So I was all like, there was a joy in there. And I log into my computer, and this one of my coworkers who's like from buttfuck nowhere, I mean, like countryside, like, you know, I whatever, man. She starts going off talking about her latest gardening project. And I remember thinking, bleh, I ain't trying to hear that shit. Oh, but the worst part is how I, like I said, the fake persona, I was like, uh-huh, uh-huh. Deep down inside, I'm like, yo, make her shut the fuck up. I want to get online. I'm not working today. I'm going online. And this was before messaging, and we're emailing each other. This was before social media, and then we all kept in contact was through group emails. Oh my god, damn, I'm getting old. But yeah, man, anyway, yeah, no, that's it. Let me look at the time. Okay, all right. Prochaine item. So yeah, no, pretending to be an extrovert. That's what this one is labeled at.
So you're a philosopher?
Someone on the internet, on Blue Sky posted something about how, by the way, controversial take right now going on, and I can't find a post, I can't remember who they are, but I remember reading it, leaving it, and it's just like, and it stayed in the back of my mind, it's like, fuck, you need to respond, and when I went to respond, I couldn't find it. What they posted is like, hey, essentially, the author, the person, the poster was criticizing people who, I was not aware, but who were, apparently there are people out there who, okay, let me try to say it straight. They were criticizing people who were in the whole Israel genocide, because it's what the fuck it is who were, they were criticizing people who were supporting the enemies of Israel. So the Houthis, Hamas, whatever the fuck. And they were in like big speech about how it will make you look like a bad person and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, as much as I understand the point you're trying to make, it bothered me. And again, took some time to process. And I realized it's like, yo, what I felt like saying is maybe you're able to respond to a genocide better than the rest of us. But for me, emotional that I am, like, you know what? Now that I think about it, it's a good thing I didn't, because it's not really something you get into. It's up there with an oppression Olympics, debating someone, oh, we suffered the most. I know what I'm feeling, and I'm being honest with you, right? And I don't care what this person, how they interpret it, but for me, it bothers me that there's a genocide going on, and you want to talk about how people should respond to it. And what I'm trying to say is, I think Israel is like 3 dead starving kids away, or has passed the point of talking morality. Like, at that point, it's like, who's the terrorist? At that point, for me, it's like I'm watching the news and I'm seeing all these atrocities, and all I can do from back of my keyboard, from back of my phone, as I'm looking at my phone, is make it stop. Make it stop. And the longer it goes on, the more I'm into, I don't care how it stops. Just make this atrocity fucking stop. Now, unfortunately, in the ugly world that we live in, that atrocities don't stop. But this is less about, I'm not trying to be right or wrong. I'm just explaining an emotion, a raw emotion of when I remember World War II, towards the end, motherfuckers didn't give a fuck how the war ended. Drop that bomb. But people didn't care, man. It's like, yo, we're committing some atrocities. People stop caring about, and I guess that's what I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to validate, to say the people who are like talking like recklessly at this point, I get it. I guess I'm angrier at the person lecturing people about how they should behave, how they should respond to a genocide, than I am at anyone else. That's what I'm trying to say. Make it stop. Alright. What time is it? Alright, okay, no, I guess that's, should I wrap this up? Okay, no, I'm gonna make one last point. Not last point. No, I'm talking now. One last randomness.
So, you're a philosopher?
Alright, last one is, I need to talk about Cedric. I know you like him young. I'm black, man. I'm making jokes, man. It's jokes, all right. If you can't tell, I'm Team Kendrick on this shit. But okay, no, here's the only reason I'm bringing up Drake at this point is, first thing is, and I felt like putting this in the R. Kendrick post subreddit, is I feel like asking, am I the only one who Reddit is trying to show you posts from the R. Drizzy subreddit? I purposely unfollow, unsubscribe from that sub, because one, you know what? It's less about Drake and more about his fans. Not his fans, his dumb fans. His freaky ass niggas. His dumb fans. They're like the idiots. Like the really, the ones who like, the dumb fans. And Reddit is like, I unfollowed, maybe I just need to block it, but I unsubscribe and it's like, hey, want to engage? We know we don't. Yo, it should be shit from Chris Brown, Sub, and Drake. Two dudes, like, you know, every time the posts come out, I just want to get in there and say, man, fuck y'all, fuck you, fuck your mama, you know? Get mama! Sorry, that's, that was some Creole cursing. Don't repeat that. All right, Twitter used to do that. That's why I got off Twitter, because I felt like the algorithm was like, hey, here's a few people we know for a fact you're not going to like. You're going to hate them. You're going to spend your time talking, responding to their dumb posts. Oh, I meant to say, yeah. God damn it, Reddit. What part is I don't want to hear of noun or verb from that minute, from Drake? I was quoting Kendrick. All right. Okay. I'm going to wrap this up because, like, it's his dumb fans. It's the ones who are like, insert something they don't understand about Kendrick, and then what does he get to? It's just like, it's really, it's angry. That's why I got out of the sub. One, it's because you can't talk to these people because it's the dumbest of the dumb. Like, I'm starting to think like it's the algorithm. And two, it's, fuck it. Let them have their safe space. Look, okay, let me just get to the last point. Drake recently released a song called, What Did I Miss? And, of course I did check it out. and I'm the post that I did see that Reddit kept showing, and then, Drake knows his audience. Drake knows the people who are still sticking around. By the way, I heard there's a rumor, that his latest album is going to be called Iceman, and it's in relation to Ice from, the United States. Like, one of the, I don't know. Fuck. That's fine. And whatever, man. I think maybe that's the new angle. I'm just gonna piss people off like Kanye. But anyway, where was I going with? But the long story is, I was gonna say is, it was interesting having one take from Drake. People, yo, man, that song was stupid. Why did he have all those guns? Why did it have all kinds of, like, what the fuck is this guy thinking? And then when the post, the Reddit would like show posts from the idiot, from Drake's idiot fans, and they'd be like, "Well, of course Drake feels what they say." They said, "Of course he feels he did a song about betrayal. This is a song about betrayal, and he's entitled to and whatever." I'm like, it's their reality. Okay, I'm gonna make just one last. I'm gonna conclude with this. I'm going to step away from dissing Drake. I mean, I'm poking fun. Whatever. But deep down inside, I can't get myself to diss Drake. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying at the core, I'll make fun, I'll poke fun and all that shit. But at the core, the reality is, I don't know what it's like to be in his shoes. And just to be more specific is, I spent the majority of my life being a people pleaser, trying to be everyone's cup of tea, everyone, like, just like the world don't move to a beat, a different drum. Yeah, to different drum. I was like dancing to the beat of the, how's it go? To different drums. Yeah, I was like, whatever the beat is like, I was falling in line, whatever I'm supposed to be, that's what, do you know what I mean? And for Drake to be where he's at, he had to do a lot of, like, he's in a world where, yo, I gotta float in my own lane. So I guess what I'm just trying to say that, look, he did take an L. Now, personally, I would have shut the fuck up. But he's chosen to, like, fuck it. I'm too legit to quit. Stay down, nigga. Stay down. No, fuck that. I'm getting back. Whatever, whatever. I guess I'm just trying to say. Yes, I can't comment on his actions, but at the core, I don't know what this guy is thinking. I don't know what it. I don't know what he's thinking, and two, it's his decisions to make. Now, there was a time I used to believe in, like, in heaven or hell, and I'd be like, well, you better not do things that are going to get you in hell. It's life. He's going to die. That's going to be his legacy. We're either going to piss on his grave or whatever, but in the end, he's the guy who's looking himself in the mirror. Now, I'm not trying to say, you know, he's doing anything right or whatever, but I'm just saying it's his car. It's his life. His life is, to him, what this podcast is to me, you know? I make the decisions. And and then I live with the consequences. All right. Okay, that's it. That's it. C'est tout les here. C'est tout les enfants. I'm trying to get out of this habit, member, by telling you of saying, all right, okay. It's not easy. With that said, we're going to take a quick break so we can do a feature thought, and let me get the fuck out of here. Never change. I'm still fucking with crime because crime pays. I never change. Out hustling, same clothes for days. I never change. That's right. I never change. I'm too stuck in my ways. Yeah. I was tempted to make the title of today's episode Out Hustling, Same Clothes for Days, just to sound cool. But instead, I went with this beautiful verse by Sean Carter, the great poet Sean Carter, Beyonce's husband. For the street robbed me, wasn't educated properly. Well, fuck y'all, I needed money for Atari.
Message!
Was so young, my big sister playing with Barbie. Why, B, are you reciting these filthy lyrics from my Jay-Z? Because at the end of my last therapy session, it was playing in my head, and it's usually after therapy. I like to, you know what? I think I'm going to talk about this in my next episode. What happened is, first I should explain how I used to go to therapy session every week, and I'm trying something new, and I'm going every second week now. Not because I don't think I need therapy, but it more is lately I've been noticing that I've been doing shit like I have the instruments to like deal with certain things, but instead of dealing with them, I just show up to the session like, okay, all right, fix this. Here's a list of shit that I've accumulated. And then she ends up telling me things that, fuck, I knew you were going to say that. But, so I say this because, so I do still feel uneasy about doing every second week, but whatever, we'll see how it goes. So, last therapy session, I remember COVID in, and I was tempted to say, look, lady, fucking give up, all right? I'm stuck in my ways.
Message!
I'm stuck in my ways. I ain't gonna change shit, right? Let me die in peace. I'm not gonna die in peace. I was reminded that therapy is not for people who aren't willing to change or do the work. Like, if you go in there, I mean, they'll take your money, but if you go in there and, you know, talk back and forth, blah, 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 but you have no intentions to change, then, I don't know, it's not for you. Now, I gotta be careful by saying this because change does not come overnight. And you don't know which category you're in. You don't know what category. Maybe your therapist will say all the right things and boom, you change. Or maybe it's going to take a long ass time. Now, in my particular situation, and if you're a repeating, returning listener, you'll know that I'm still struggling with being able to get back into comedy. And I remember having a moment the week before the week before a therapy session, telling myself, like, you know what, babe, give it up. you're not gonna back. You know, comedy was that thing you used to do. You did back in your days when you were a child. It's like your DJ career. It's like it's just that thing that you used to do. Give up. And problem is, I remember I was driving to work when I had that thought. I'm like, you know, just accept the fact that you're gonna die. Likely on your way to work, coming back from work, or during the weekend doing this bitching about work, doing the same mundane thing that you do right now, wishing what you could have been and shit. That shit was depressing, and I was like, wow, man, if I could, I would open up a vein. But I remember going in there feeling defeated and believing like, look, lady, we've tried it all. I've been talking to you about this shit for a while. I have been for a while. And I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. Like, I don't know. I'm thinking of, let's say, a chronic cheater. It's, yeah, man, I can't give up them hoes. Give up on me. You know, it's, it just felt like that. But I remember I came in. And I was ready to say, look, lady, I'm 50 years old. I'm stuck in my ways. Ain't shit gonna change. But being the therapist that she is, it's like, blah, 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 you know, the yada, 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 talking your ears, making some sense and saying shit that makes sense. And I'm like, ah, fuck, I didn't even think about that. And the session ended with, we're not done yet, essentially. I remember feeling like, B, you're not done yet. There's something I'm gonna try and I never got to it is I'm going to make a list, like take the time to sit down, make a list of everything I didn't like about my time as a comic. And because we started to narrow down that something is, it's like, it's deep. Something is like, it's like, I feel like saying like point on the doll where comedy touched you. There's like something that I haven't like processed yet. And that's the reason why it's like feeling like a freaking, like on one end, I'm like, yes, I want to get back on stage, but my actions, but why can't I get? One thing is, one thing I discovered is the idea of going back in a fucking bar. I guess I didn't like the bar settings. No, I used to, but now I don't like. No, you know what? It's deeper than that. It's deeper. But I am going to say that one of the thoughts that does come to mind is the fear of, there was a time when I was doing comedy, when I first started out, shit was fun. Then it got to a point where I I plateaued in a sense that I was playing it safe. I was enjoying the laughters. I was, we used to talk as comedians sometimes your best set, sometimes bombing is a blessing because it puts you in a situation where you were like, okay, let me try something different. But I was going in there and staying the same jokes. Not that they were bad, but I remember there was a sense of, that sense of a victory. There was a constant fear of losing it. I'm thinking about going back to Drake. Thinking about Drake is, and I remember telling myself I couldn't be in his shoes back in the days when he was like climbing, successful, and it's as if he was coming out with tracks on. I mean the early days of Drake, not the late ones, but the early, he was like featured, he was like the hot new artist, and every track he was on was friggin' solid. And I remember thinking, yo, I couldn't be in his shoes because I would be so scared of making that one fuck up. I guess this one fuck up with fucking with Drake, I mean with Kendrick. I'm thinking about, he's actually living. Now that I think about it, he's actually living. Oh my God. Holy shit. Damn, I love this podcast. Okay. He's actually living his worst nightmare. and I'm realizing that it's the way he's handling it that's just making it worse. So going back to myself is I was always scared of getting on that stage and the laughter stops. And that's it. All my shows, or that's all. It's just I'm that comedian who's on stage and everyone's like, fuck, has it been 6 minutes yet? Get this motherfucker on off stage. But I remember that fear of not being able to do it. Losing it, just losing it. I'm Patrice O'Neill. Okay, this is probably a bad example. Patrice O'Neill, in one of his, I don't know if it was a documentary or whatever. So one of his interviews, he was talking about how one of the reasons why he didn't excel past whatever point he was. Like, he could have been an actor. He could have been all those shit. But he remembered that he purposely put brakes on himself because he was scared of being in situations where he's got shit that people could take away from him. Like, oh, wow. I think, you know what? I think he was scared of being canceled. I think that's what I hate that. I fucking hate that word canceled. But I think he was, no, he didn't use the word canceled back then. That wasn't the word. But he was scared of the execs being like, oh, Negro, yeah, oh, look, oh, man, you made the wrong joke. You made the wrong white person feel uncomfortable. We're taking your home away. We're taking it all away from you. And what's amazing is going back to Kendrick now. Wow, 360 degrees here. Kendrick, he's got a track called Fear, and there's three verses to Fear. And on his last verse, he talks about his biggest fear is yo. What one line he says? It's like he's worried that the success that he's got, it's one big ass punchline by God, and it's just gonna be like, ha ha, taking it away from you. You know, oh, now you're successful, you're big, all right, taking it away from you. And I, that should have been the title of today's episode. But anyway, all right, let me get back. All right, so, anyway, it's to be continued, gang, to be continued. Unfortunately, you're listening to a podcast. If this was a movie, there'd be a montage of me getting over this shit. This would all be in a montage, and then boom, and I'm back on stage doing comedy. But instead, you're just on this podcast listening to me like, not today, kids, not today. But I do, one thing's for sure is the day I manage to get myself back, that one open mic, oh man, it's going to be a great episode to talk about it. I might be cocky though, you might want to be careful. Like, yeah, now's the time to talk to me, because after that, I'm going to be cocky as fuck. Burst your eardrum. Cocky as fuck. And the price of the brick will go up. With that said, this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed it recording it. No, hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed what I cooked before the episode. Okay, take it easy. Take it easy. And, website, shutuppodcast.com. Email address, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. I'm serious, man. If I said something today in today's episode that resonate, holler at me. Shut up podcast 411@gmail.com, or you can holler at me for my socials. They're on the website. They're on the website, aren't they? Shit, I gotta work on that. Alright, before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.